and welcome to our show, How's the Josh? I'm Omkar Chaudhary. Well, today I have got my podcast mentor to you, a person with a lot of humor, wittiness, and most importantly, a kind soul. Let's unveil this charming person and learn lots more about his Josh. With a warm heart, we welcome on the show, Rupen Paul. So, welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, Omkar, for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, so like, before we begin, tell us, like, how's Rupen?
Optimistic.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but optimistic. Finally, okay. After 27 years, I can think I can call myself. And optimistic. My current state is optimistic, yeah.
Okay, that's wonderful. So, like, see, we all have introduced to this big platform of podcasts on Savin and iTunes and everything. So, how did this Write Room podcast started? Like, how did it all begin?
So I used to work in IT. I used to work in IT until like last year. So from 2015 to 2018, right? 2018 was last year, that's right. So 2.5 years. And the thing is, I used to have a little bit of free time at my job, as is the case with many people who have jobs. Okay, and I used to the best content that you can consume while you're doing something else is a podcast. Okay, when you watch a video, You're completely engaged. But when you're watching a podcast, when you're listening to a podcast, you can do something else. So I was listening to a bunch of podcasts and I found it very helpful for me personally. It was like very, it would make me laugh sometimes. It would inspire me sometimes. It would inform me on things which I wanted to be informed about. So that was one thing that was really helpful for me as a podcast listener. All right. So then I was going to quit. I quit my job about last year to pursue stand-up comedy full-time. When I put out my papers, one of the things that I decided to do was start a podcast. It kind of in two ways to create like the content that I would like, okay, to listen to people who had quit their jobs to pursue their own ambitions and their own careers, that's right. And the other thing was for a way to create like some more work for myself, because I was going to quit my job, right? So my greatest fear after quitting my job was, what if I'm going to have too much of free time, right? And because I'm not too happy when I have too much of free time. I like I rather prefer being a little productive. So that was another thing. So these two things kind of met. Okay, and like let me create some work for myself and at the same time create something which will be of impact and value to other people listening to it. So that's how I started the Write Room, which is about 47 episodes in as of this week.
Okay, so you have successfully completed 47 episodes of Write Room podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's bravo. So moving on, see, when you told me that you quit your job and you pursued your passion, basically. So how hard was it on your end to take the decision to, like, you know, quit your job? Because, you know, like in day-to-day life, we need money and everything and you get the money from the job. So it was like, you know, it took like a lot of more courage on your end to quit the job and start with your passion. So tell us about that courage, basically. Like, where did you muster this courage from?
I don't know how to answer it very, I don't know if I'd be doing justice by answering correctly, but let me try. The first thing is, like, I was already making money out of comedy.
Okay,
and this is advice that I give to anyone who wants to quit your job is, don't quit your job until you're making money out of the other career. Okay, so I was for 2.5 years, I was making money from my IT job as well as stand-up. Alright, so okay. I was eventually, you know, calculating both the incomes. Okay, you know, calculating both the incomes, as well as creating savings in my IT job. Okay, and at one point, actually, when I decided to quit my job, it was like, shit, I'm actually making... the month that I quit my job, in March, I actually made more from comedy than my IT job.
Okay, so somewhere that boosted you.
That took about like 4 years or so, right? Okay. And so then I realized, okay, so I do not have to worry about, you know, not having this regular income, because one, I have savings, and other thing is I'm also making money out of comedy. Okay, that was the most practical side. So I was making money out of both. So eventually it came to a point where both my incomes kind of matched.
Okay. And like,
when I decided to quit... You were saying?
Yeah, the thing is like, had you said that you stepped into comedy, so was it from the childhood itself that you were doing comedies in the schools and skits, or like it eventually turned out when you became a teenager?
No, it became later, dude. Like, I think I should have started when I was 18. That's one of my regrets of not starting this earlier. I saw a clip, I think I was the funny guy who made people in my class laugh, I was the person who like imitated everyone, all the teachers, all the classmates, and all that in front of the entire class. Okay, so I knew that I was, and plus I felt funny. I always felt like funny, right? Of like wherever I was with my friends or family. So I knew I wanted to do this as soon as I saw a clip of stand up when I was 18, but I kept pushing this down. Hmm. And then finally when I was 22, I decided to, you know, do stand-up, try my hand at stand-up, because I was doing my master's. I told Shohi like on like 1,000 times, I was doing my master's, and then I did not like them. Initially when I joined my master's, I thought like, this is a course that I really want to study in computer science because I was good at it in master's. But okay. Then 1 year into the course, I realized this is not what I wanted to be doing for the rest of my life. So 1 year into my master's degree, I had a vacation between the first year and the second year. Hmm. So I signed up for about like 8 open mics. Okay, there was an open mic every week, and I had 2 months of vacation. So okay. Like 2 months, I'll do an open mic every week. So I ended up doing 8 open mics and to see how I'll do at the end of it. And I was not good at it, but I knew that if I keep doing it, I'll keep getting better. And I kept liking the progress that I was making from one open mic to the next. And I kept thinking if I keep working at it, and I actually have this time, one day I'll make it work and, you know, make something out of it. Not even money out of it, but get like laughs. And it was just like an eventual progression from there, man. Just beginning to get better. And then some opportunities came, which I maybe used as well. Got me to where I am today.
Sure. But like, you know, in your way up to comedy, like, you know, comedy is one of the difficult expression to emote. To be very honest, like, you know, you can't just make people laugh out of nowhere. It requires talent, it requires a lot of mental presence. So there must have been a lot more challenges on your path as well. So like, how did you just tackle them challenges? Like, you know, many a times people must have not liked your comedy, or there must have been down moments as well. Have you had up moments? So like, how do you tackle with all the stressful situations in your whole day-to-day thing?
Right. Like, I think one of my friends, dude, who I had on a podcast, is this dancer called Preeti Bhardwaj. She put it very well. Are the two things which cannot be faked. Like horror, you have to convince the person that this movie is scary or this book is scary, right? And the same thing with comedy, you have to convince that this is funny, only then people are going to laugh. And you can't fake it.
Right. You can't fake it. True.
You can't fake comedy. You have to be genuine, and that's like a constant struggle with yourself. And it is a good thing. It is a good struggle. Like the struggle to be constantly authentic and genuine to yourself, and to genuine to what you find funny, right? And I think that's a very good process. Eventually, you start off, you do jokes which you think at least I did it the wrong way, probably, which you and other comics made, and you start off and you think like these are jokes that everyone's gonna find funny. And then maybe you get a few laughs, but these are not the laughs that you want to get. And that's one thing in comedy which is there, I know, with at least me and a few other comedians who I've spoken with. Sometimes you get a response from a show and people are laughing, but you know that this is not the level that you want to be.
Okay.
Like, you want to be at a level that's slightly higher than what you're experiencing right now, right? So that's mostly to improve. And that's mostly to be deeper into what you actually find funny. So you keep showing up week after week, doing all these shows, right, and trying to get better. But eventually you start talking about things that you genuinely find funny. And for me, I think it took me about 7 months to, like 7 months I've just come to open mics and no one will give a shit about it. Like, there will be laughs, but it will be very few, it will be very polite. Like the other comedians wouldn't even be in the room when I'm performing, they'll come out for smoke, whatever, right? But then I think one night at this place called Take Five, I somehow cracked it. I don't know what it is, but I went and I wrote jokes and I sat and thought about it. And then when I came to Take Five, I did so well. Like, there was so much of laughter. Like, all the other comedians were smoking, they stopped their tickets to come and find whatever, and then to see what was happening. And I think that was, it took me about 7 to 8 months, I think. So from there, it's just been the same process, dude. Like, the thing is, you have to keep constantly writing new stuff and surprising the audiences with stuff that's never been heard before. At all by any comedian. You have to be completely original, right? And that being completely original comes from being completely authentic to yourself.
Okay, so being true to yourself is the main point over here.
Yeah, you have to, you can't mess with what you find is funny, dude. What you find is funny is funny. Like, even if you think that other people are not going to find it funny, you find it funny. So now it becomes a task for you to convince the audience that the thoughts that you had are funny. and worthy to be laughed at. So you have to just put it across. So that's the entire art of comedy. What you find is funny and put it across the audience, they also find it funny. So you're kind of inviting them to be on the same level of thought as you.
Okay. Like, you know, like every day, taking up a new paper, a blank paper, and taking up a pen and writing new jokes, that takes a lot of motivation and inner side, and that takes a lot of courage from inner side as well. Like, you know, to be creative at your best level. So where does this motivation comes from?
I do not know if it works that way in comedy, man. Like, I don't think you can. I mean, you're supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be taking a blank sheet and writing jokes and writing stuff every day.
Yeah.
And I do try to write, like, I'm supposed to be like 500 words every day just as a personal exercise of discipline in getting a thought across. But not necessarily anything in that exercise is funny. Alright? It's just, I think, it's two things two ways I'd like to answer the question. I think the question I'm trying to ask is, like, how do you stay motivated to write new content?
Right? Yeah, true.
And there's one thing, which is writing comedy content, you just have to live life, I guess, okay, and be as conscious as you can living life, okay, because I think the funniest things come from real life scenarios. And no, it is true, the funniest things do come from real life scenarios, right? So,
right.
Like having conversations with people, and like for me, the funniest things have come always from conversations. So, like, whenever I have a conversation with someone, whether like a friend or whatever, right, and I'm sitting and talking, then something funny definitely comes out of it. Or if it's going through life, they're doing some, like, so that's one of the things that I'm really, really trying to get myself to do, is to try and do, like, more fun activities for myself.
Yeah, one more thing to put you here, like, you know, normally I've been going through Instagram stories, and every time there has been some or the other gig there, like, you uploaded on the story. So you're trying to be creative in each and every aspect of you can be. Yeah, so that is something that I really find very creative, and I enjoy personally watching your stories on Instagram, because there's something or the other joke always there.
Yeah, because like one thing is, I think probably the reason why I do that is, like, my Instagram is just filled with bad jokes, okay, the thing is, and the reason why I do that is, like, I am a funny person, at least as a comedian, right? So, like, when I'm doing something, I can't just say, like, hey, I'm doing this, right? Because that's what a regular person do. Like, I have to caption it or put it in a funny way. So,
right.
I think that's one way. But it's hard, dude. Like, you got to promote your shows on social media. Like, it's very strange. I'm not a fan of social media at all.
Okay.
Like, I really hope to one day come to the level where I don't have to use social media. I really, really want to come to that level. But it's hard right now, because I have to play that game to promote my shows.
Exactly.
Because everyone's checking Instagram right now, right? And the only way people can know that a show is happening is if I put it on Instagram, right?
Okay.
So I have to maintain, it's like a new strategy now. We have to keep putting out other stuff on Instagram, so that when people are there for the other stuff, but once in a while they also see information of a show. So if someone's making plans, and they go through a story, they'll be like, hey, Roof and Paul has a show today, so let's go and check out the show.
Okay.
So that's something that we have to keep.
Yeah, and the shows are predominantly
content creators. Even you as a content creator, you have to work on social media. That's one of the games that we have to play.
Exactly. We have to play that. Like, you know, we have to be promoting our episodes, we have to be promoting our work on the social media, so that the people can come and receive the content that we are creating.
True. I do not know why other people would post stuff on social media and be on social media for so long. They're not a content creator. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, because then the thing is, the sad part of social media is that it brings a lot of comparison into your life, dude.
Yeah.
Which is a little, which is one of the, I think one of the leading causes of unhappiness now. Like, I may be doing really well in my life personally, okay, with my little 9-to-5 job and savings that I'm making and the life I'm living on the weekends and all that, right?
Right.
But then I see someone who started the same course as me in another country, in another university, and they're putting pictures of, like, them playing with snow, and I'm like, shit, dude, like, my life is shit. I'm just sitting in my pajamas on Saturday with no plans today at all.
Okay.
So,
like, were you a victim of social media ever? Like, any time in your life, were you ever? You were?
No.
Not at all. Like, so you have that guts and courage to keep it out.
No, but, like, I'm not afraid of too many people do it.
Okay.
Like, I'm really not afraid of people, because that's one thing you let go of when you, I think, slowly become a performer. You can't be afraid of people, because if you're afraid of people, then people are afraid of people and people don't try anything.
Okay, that's the true thing. True, exactly. And like, you know, coming to the conclusion part of this show, like of this podcast, one thing, like, you know, the show revolves around the part, how's the Josh, like, you know, the energy, the motivation that you have behind doing your work, your passion. So that one sentence that can sum up your whole passion and motivation, please.
Oh shit, okay.
This is going to be the hard
how
part.
Do it in one sentence.
Okay, like, how you can take a few sentences, come on.
No, let me try doing it in
okay,
one sentence.
Okay, sure.
I think everyone, like a few people, a few of us are blessed that we know what we're good at, okay?
Yeah.
And know what we like. And then it becomes a responsibility of how do you use what you like and what you're good at to add value to the world.
Wow.
So then it becomes a responsibility. So your responsibility is to take what you like and what you feel you're best at, and use that to create some value into the world.
That was bravo. That was amazing. And now, like, a lot of serious topics and a lot of serious talks I've done. So now you have to buckle up your shoes and pull up your socks, because now we want to head to the Josh fire. That is, like, you know, you have to answer
I'm not rapidly. Wearing socks, dude. I'm not wearing socks. I'm not wearing shoes. I'm just in my socks. I'm just sitting in my balcony. I told her, let the parents think I'm on some official phone call, but this makes the easiest form of work.
True enough, yeah. Like, being in the pajamas is the best way to answer, like, you know, with the whole relaxed mode on.
Yeah, this is how I am, like, most of the day. Okay. I'm busy. Yeah, tell me.
So, are you ready for the Josh fire?
The Josh fire, wow.
Yeah, you have to be...
I'm ready for the...
Josh fire, yeah.
I have to be, like, really on
you have
fire,
to be really,
right?
Yeah, you have to be really rapid, honest, and you have to say all the truth, okay?
Okay, let me, like, the first thing that comes to my mind, okay, without,
yeah.
now if I say something stupid, it's on you, okay, you can't, like, get me into trouble. I mean, I'm not worried, but I might say something stupid. Okay, tell me, let's go.
So let's move. Okay, 1, 2, 3, here we go. One thing you're thinking at moment.
How to be less critical.
Okay, 3 weird things about your lifestyle.
One is, like, I, 3 weird things about lifestyle, I actually, you know, I like doing more than having less to do in the day.
Okay. Second thing?
The second thing is, I'm very comfortable spending time with myself and spending time with a few important friends.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I do not know if I'm an introvert, but I think I'm starting to believe that actually I'm kind of introverted. And the third thing is, I think I'm a little of a lifestyle, right? Very self-critical, I probably, which is a bad thing.
Okay, so that is the 3 weird things about your lifestyle. I mean, like, the second thing I found it...
Yeah, it's a very lifestyle thing also, because being self-critical, because I'll do something and be like, oh shit, I'm not doing it correctly. So it's a constant thing of, like, am I doing the right thing? The right way and all of that, yeah.
Yeah, but let's see, on the contrary part, you're doing the Right Room podcast, and for the second thing, like, you know, you're saying yourself introvert, but you're, well, like, you know, being there in front of so many people and doing the open mic shows. So, this 2 things I really find, like, yeah, you, this is
and I also, but I also like, I genuinely like meeting people. I genuinely like meeting people. I think that's the best thing that there is in the world.
Yeah, but the third thing that you talked about, like, you know, you've been self-critical and, like, you know, whether you're doing the things right or wrong. There's one gig, like, you know, you're doing the Right Room podcast and you're, like, again doubting yourself whether I'm doing right or not.
Yeah, I sometimes think it's a wrong room, dude.
Okay, moving on. Choose any one movie of your choice you wish to be casted, and also tell the name of the character you want to play.
Oh, 25th Hour, dude, for sure. I want to be Edward Norton's character in 25th Hour.
Okay. Pick one of your choice to team up with you to be your dance partner. Any friend you want to be, like, you know, pairing up with your dance partner, as your dance partner.
Oh my god, I'm so horrible at dancing that I invite any bad dancer to be my partner, because I'll make them look good.
Okay, you have to tell the name.
Oh, but he's not my idea of my friends, so it's of no use.
Okay, sir. But I think that's the, like, you know, we'll just put out the name over there. That will really make it more catchy, I feel.
No, I would not want that.
Exactly. Because at the end, okay, fine. Let's move on to the second one, the gym partner.
Sorry, my dream?
Gymming partner.
Like a partner in like business or in comedy?
No. Gym partner in like, you know, when you go to the gym, you want someone to be like...
Oh, my gym partner. Sorry, yeah. My gym partner.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, my ideal gym partner. Oh my God, dude. I think it has to be Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Because I think that's the only thing I see on his internet, that he's constantly going to the gym, and I'm sure it would be really funny working out with him.
Okay.
But this isn't some ideal scenario which is never going to happen, dude. Like, why are you doing this to me? Now I'll have to think of, like, shit.
But that is the part of Joe's fire, no? Like, you know, I'll make you think and you have to answer rapidly. And there comes the bitterness out of
okay.
you.
Oh, okay. Then can I change my answer? My dream gym partner would be Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Because I think now he's that old. It'll be, like, interesting to see, like, if I can actually do, like, more push-ups. But I'm sure he'll still beat my ass at it.
Yeah, and he'll inspire you. Like, you know, you're doing more than him.
Lunch partner.
Yeah, you're going out for a food in a restaurant and you want someone to be your lunch partner. So who will that be?
Oh my God. It would have been the late great Anthony Bourdain.
Okay.
The guy who died last year. But that would have been my, like, maybe some of the lifetime, or if there's a heaven maybe, I'd probably hope to have like a meal with Anthony Bourdain.
Okay. The last one, travel partner. Like, you know, you're traveling somewhere out and you want that person to be there with you as your partner the whole entire journey.
Oh, shit. I am so horrible at traveling, dude. I hate traveling. Because I'll be such a grump during the entire trip. So I think I'll probably take someone who is definitely very relaxed. Like, probably Dalai Lama, dude. Dalai Lama, yeah.
Okay, so you'll have all the patience to tolerate you.
Yeah, and I think I'll be very relaxed around him because he won't be like, hey, let's go to the sunset point in the morning and then let's go to the sunrise point in the morning, sunset point in the night, and let's go and do lunch at this new exotic cafe at the top of this hill or this beach. I think he'll be more meditative and I mean, we'll be so relaxed that
okay.
eventually...
The
you know,
first
we'll,
question that I asked you about the dance partner, I think we'll just pair up Dalai Lama to be a dance partner. I think that works, I guess.
Dalai Lama is a dance partner, do you think so?
Yeah, like, you know, because he's a very calm and gentle person, so you don't have to dance more and he'll be like calm person in the room. It works?
Yeah, I think that will be the only dance that we do and we don't feel tired after the dance.
That's very true. Okay, the next one. One food item you can eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner.
An item that I can eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Oh my God, dude. How are these questions so difficult?
You have to be very fast.
And that's why I'm supposed to be fast, right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I think it has to be dahi, dude. Like, yogurt, curd.
Okay. Like, but you can't have it for dinner and lunch, no? Like, yogurt ke saath, you will have some, like, you know, yogurt in mendu dosa or, like dosa or something.
No, I can have yogurt. I think I can have yogurt and curd, like, throughout the day.
Throughout the whole day?
Yes, okay. I can survive on it, I'm sure.
Wow. The next one. Tell one stereotype about media that is true.
One stereotype about?
Social media that is true.
Oh, that the people are happier on social media than they are in real life. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's the right point. True.
No one's that happy, dude. Like, if anyone's listening to this podcast, if you see some friend of yours who's really happy, like, they're not really happy. Like, everyone has their shit sandwich to eat. Yeah.
True. Second last one. If given a chance, would like to have a citizenship of which country?
Oh, dude, there's no other country that I want to be a part of the India, dude. Because I'll tell you why. It's going to sound very messed up, okay? The thing is, if I was born in America, then I know that there's no greater country than in America, right? Because we're like, oh shit, we're the greatest country in the world. But now, since I'm born in India, like, I'll be like, oh, like, things don't go well. Like, it always goes to, like, Australia or Canada or America. So, because I have so many options,
yeah.
I actually think that I'm really happy to be part of India. It's a very controversial answer, but who cares? I like India.
Okay, that's a very good thing. Hashtag DC love, hashtag India love.
They don't. Why are you giving hashtags in a podcast, dude? Like, no one's going to follow these hashtags. They were so funny and it just...
Honest, like, you know, this social media age is really, like, gone over the head, and everything that goes, it, like, goes hashtag for everything.
Yeah, I don't understand why people speaking hashtags while they're having a conversation. That's weird.
Okay.
It's also like when someone puts up a joke on Twitter, they put like hashtag.
Yeah, definitely.
How bad your sarcasm should be. Like, you need a hashtag. That is very sad, dude.
The last one. One thing you hate about social media. I think you probably give the answer right at the moment. You hate the hashtags about the social media.
No, and it's also like, I think just the fact that you're pushing your. I don't know, dude, like the fact that you constantly... I tell you, the one thing that I hate, which I haven't mentioned, social media never gets over.
Yeah, that is very true. You keep on scrolling and there's almost more feed for you.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, TV gets over, like, your show gets over, and then you're like, oh, shit, there's no more TV. I have to wait for the next day.
Yeah.
Cricket match gets over, a comedy show gets over.
Right.
Everything in life gets over, like relationships get over, marriages finish sometimes, like your kids leave you, everything gets over, dude. Everything is dated, but social media is just always present. Like you, even, and the worst part of social media is that, and it's the biggest addiction that we all have, which is freaking crazy, it's like worse than cocaine, is that, you know, like even after doing like, even after being on social media for like 1 hour or 2 hours, right, you still feel you're not had enough. Like when you finish, you'll be like, okay, I'm done with it. There's never a point where you're done with it. Like, even alcohol, you're done with drinking. Right?
Yeah.
After a certain point, you reach... Like, every alcoholic reaches the point, you're like, okay, now I cannot have more alcohol. And even in cocaine, you're like, okay, now I've done cocaine, and it's too expensive to, like, buy more cocaine. And the same thing with cigarettes. Okay, like, I'll smoke an entire pack, I think I'm done for the day. But with social media, you're just never, ever, ever done.
Okay, so it's like a never-ending process. So that's something...
It's a never-ending drug which never satisfies you.
Okay. So with this, we are done with the Josh Fire, and you were excellent in it. Like, you know, the Dalai Lama wala answer and everything, you just nailed it, and it's 10 on 10. You nailed it.
Thanks.
So, like, before we conclude this,
do I get like a hamper or something?
Yeah, definitely. You just give me the address, and it goes directly to your home in Bangalore. A big hamper.
Of course. As soon as someone asks me for the address, I know that nothing is coming. Yeah. No one's going to post something to my address too. Okay, then yeah.
You surely see within 2 days, it's going to come in right away to a Bangalore, a big lorry of hamper.
Yeah, okay. I believe that, yeah.
Okay, so the last question that you will tell, like that you will answer right now is that, what advice will you give to the teen Rupain? Like, you know, the teenage Rupain that is looking out for some coach in their life. So what's that one advice that you'll give to the teenage Rupain?
Yeah, the first thing is just let go of all the fear that you have. It's absolutely pointless to be worried about things which are not really going to happen to your life. And stop worrying about other people's opinion of you. Stop worrying about things that people are going to say behind your back. Because what people say behind your back is none of your business. And also, like, none of us are that bad, dude, when you think about it. Like, all of us have a unique set of skills.
Yeah.
And a unique set of talents and a unique outlook to the world. And we're all unique in our own way. So there's nothing that you should be afraid of. Just like how everyone else is unique, you are also unique. And people, if you stay authentic to yourself, people are going to find you and people are going to be attracted towards you. But the thing is, you've got to believe in yourself first and own what you are about yourself. Like, own yourself. Like, own your flaws. Don't pay too much attention to the flaws and the imperfections that you have. Just let yourself be. Try to be the best version of yourself, of course, by, you know, being more authentic to yourself. And I think that's the only thing in being the best version of yourself. Be more authentic. Just stay true to yourself. Because if you stay true to yourself, you'll be confident in who you are. And you have to know that what you are is enough and what you are is not a bad person. And then, because of owning your confidence and being confident of yourself, people will be attracted towards you, and that will sort of propel you to be more authentic to yourself, and I think push you towards a life which is good and abundant for you.
Yeah, I think this part was really the most valuable part and the magnificent part of the whole podcast. The beautiful advice that you gave to the teenagers out all over there.
And it's not even the teenage version, dude. Like, it's very strange. Like, I think, for me, it's like until I was, like, last year. I just had like so much of fear and anxiety just paralyzed me in whatever I do. Like I'll try to, you know, try to be such a perfect person.
Right.
And I think, and like just so that everyone likes me, like so that my words are perfect, like my clothes are perfect. And like I, like all, like if I, when I used to go out, I used to like, you know, literally carry like a moisturizer and like, and like, you know, things like a comb, so that my, even like a single strand of my hair is not like outside and there's no patch of dry skin across my body.
Okay.
But it's weird, dude, when you think about it, because you think like you're not, you should, I mean, one of the worst things you can do is have a low opinion of yourself.
Yeah.
And
you know,
if you have a low opinion of yourself,
the effort of being perfect should not be there. Just be what you want. That's beautiful.
Just be what you are, because nobody is perfect, first of all. And also, this is the thing which we learn somewhere in our lives, that you know, we are actually attracted to the imperfections of other people.
Okay. So that's
I don't know how it's possible, but we actually, because when you see like, when you even you see like a really big celebrity, right? And you see him drinking tea, you'll be like, oh, this guy is drinking tea. Because he's just human, dude. We all are just human beings. Like, I, like, there's one thing, it, like, which I can tell you, which I think this is advice, like, you asked me for some advice when you started your podcast, and I said, hey, what advice? I said, just remember that you're on the same level as the person whom you're interviewing.
Right. Yeah.
And you remember I gave you this advice?
Yeah, yeah. You gave me it before. The initial talk
Yeah, and I think that's what all of us should believe. Like, all of us should believe that we are in the same level, and we all are unique. So, if you're like, if you're on a flight with like a with a really big celebrity, like that person is a celebrity for a reason, because he or she has believed in himself or herself, and that's all it takes, dude. So, the only thing that's separating you and that person is the sense of belief.
Right.
And you know what? Like, even if it's a celebrity in a room and they find a person who believes in themselves and who has a good impression of themselves and has confidence radiating out of their personality, even like a king or like a celebrity will be attracted to have a conversation with that person. So that's one thing we just need to let go of, this excess of fear and like what is going to happen if this happens, and you know, doing overthinking. And overthinking is just based on fear, because you want people to always have a good impression of you.
Right.
Which is absolutely a toxic belief to go through life. It's all right if people have a negative impression of you, but be authentic to yourself, and a few people will have a good impression of you. Because even if a book becomes a bestseller and it sells like 100 million copies, right? It's still just 2% of the world, dude.
That's a 90%
of that book. Yeah. So, like, not everyone's going to like you, and every great person in the world has been hated as much as they are liked. So, and the few people who like you will really like you, but for that, you really every single day, like I try to just to make a conscious effort to be just genuine and authentic to myself and let go of the fear of people not liking me.
Right, definitely. I think that was the most valuable ever advice given, and definitely we will preserve it and we will follow this advice. And it was great talking to you, Rupin sir.
Thank you so much, Omkar.
And thank you so much for being on the show. Like, you know, on a short notice, you just came on the show and you just enlightened this whole show with your valuable thoughts. So thank you so much. It means a lot to us.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope the remaining episodes go well, and good luck to you and to all the remaining podcasts that you plan to come.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, well, that was it for today. Now we meet on next Saturday. Until we meet, take care, be happy, and most importantly, be full of joy. Thank you.